Hello, this is Frank Dunn reading for you, as I do every week, from your Norwood Record on behalf of the Talking Information Center. Front page stories here. Jeff Sullivan on the ball here, raising funds by hitting the floor, Dancing with the Stars. Norwood votes a whopping turnout of 10.4%, and the results. And, those are two stories on page one. So let's go with the election. Results are in, and 2,481 the voters out of 23,703 registered made their voices heard in Norwood. For the Board of Selectmen, incumbent Michael Saad took the lead with 1,633 votes, but not far behind was Cheryl Doyle with 1,607 votes to take the second open seat. Challenger David Bliss came in with 539 votes. Saad said his turnout was almost exactly the same as in 2023, as he had 1,677. Then it was almost the same as last time. He said, "I'm great." Well, he didn't say that I'm great. He said, "It's great. I love Norwood, and I hope people gave me their vote of confidence. And the next 3 years are going to be exciting. We're going to roll our sleeves up and make things happen." Saad said he's particularly focused on one big issue in the town. The Norwood Hospital has been the biggest thing on the ticket for the last 120 years, so we got to get this thing open, he said. A newly minted Doyle has run for the board before, as well as other offices, and she said this win was because she got out heavily involved with the town. "Well, this one was a lot different than last year. I was more nervous then, but I had such a great team this year backing me up, and a lot of residents were contacting me in town, even up to the last minute, to get lawn signs or hold signs outside, everything," she said. "I am on cloud nine, and it just goes to show that if you volunteer in town and you put up time and put the time in and effort, you will get support from the townspeople." Bliss said he was thankful for the experience and those who came out for him. There was a lot to learn, a lot involved, he said, but it was a fair and clean race, and I think we did well. Matthew Lane ran unopposed for a one-year term to fill outgoing selectman Bill Plasko's seat with 1,819 votes. For the school committee, Michael Sanglang topped the votes with 1,294, and coming in second for the second available seat on the committee was Ben Moser with 1,277. Nicholas Palang was not far behind with 1,001 votes. Moser said this was the second time running for school committee, but the first time winning. "I ran 5 years ago, and I'm mostly just excited to get to work," he said. "Well, excited might be the wrong word, but I am ready to stop campaigning and start diving in. I know that there is a lot to do, and I know it's not going to be the most comfortable work to do over the next 3 years, but I'm excited to get to do it." Moser added that he knows it's going to be a lot of work to get up to speed. "That's why I took tomorrow off," he said. Sangalang said this was his first run and that he also is looking forward to getting into the weeds. "It's exciting and really great to be able to hear from so many people and get to know so many people in the town," he said. "There is a lot going on in this town, and so many people have so many different opinions, and just to hear so much of what was an education in how the town works and what people care about." The finance commission race was close, but returning member Kelly Newmy topped out with 1,142 against Ed Lynch. close behind, really, with the 1,090. Numi has had a seat on the commission before, but this election was different. FinCom hasn't had a contested race in like 30 years, she said. This was the first time it was contested for a long time, but that's great. You get more people coming out here, throwing their name and trying to do good things for the town. But I was a bit nervous. I'm glad it turned out the way it did. And I'm really thankful to everyone who came out and voted. I hope one of the things we can do moving forward is to increase voter turnout so people can get their voices heard. Lynch said he's been a town meeting member for 12 years, but this was his first run for a larger office. There was a bit more communication with people, and it was a lot more exciting, he said. We lost a close race. If you supported me in my capacity, I thank you kindly, and I do appreciate the help. It means something, and I learned a lot. The voters spoke. Thank you. For the Board of Health, incumbent Joan Jacobs kept her seat on the board with 1,205 votes to Catherine Kinzer Angerpier's 1,082 votes. Abner Pierce said she was disappointed to lose again this year, but there is always next year. It was so close this year. She said, I'm disappointed, but I did better in my campaign, and I did much better than last time, and I'm going to run again next year. So it was good. It should be noted that the number of blanks cast in each contested election, 1162 for the Board of Selectmen, 1375 for the school committee, 246 for the finance committee, and 191 for the Board of Health could have swung the vote against the winners of each election. For the uncontested races, Jennifer Mancuso and Christina Stetson took 1566 and 1420 votes respectively, for the planning board. Debbie Homewood took in 1,650 votes. For the Norwood Housing Authority, Michael Fitzgibbon garnered 1,611 votes. And Robert DiSario, the publisher of the online publication Inside Norwood, took in 1,582 votes for Constable. The average voter turnout for the town meeting districts hovered around 9 to 10%, save for districts 5 and 6, which had 6.35% and 6.81% respectively. Why do I want to say respectfully? However, District 4 had a turnout percentage of 17.48%, 473 votes out of 2657. To see the records, live coverage of the election on Monday, go to the norwoodrecord.com/election-live. Concom approves analog a change ahead of a new tenant. The Conservation Committee, good old Concom, met with representatives of the owner at One Technology Way, University Avenue, and Route 1 intersection, asking for a change in a previously approved order of conditions. The site, formerly the home of Analog Devices and currently serving as temporary ordered the office space for FM Global, while that company is building a new headquarters, has come under the Concom's purview in the past when it was found that unauthorized work within wetlands by the conservation agent at the time. Currently, attorney David Hearn said the owner was instructed to make wetland ratification, what is the word here, replication and improvements to the site, especially the northeast corner of the property that was originally disturbed. The order of conditions stipulated that the remediation work had to be completed in 12 months, but he said that didn't happen for various reasons, and These are not excuses, but more explanation. The work has not been completed, he said. Some background work has been done, but part of what's been going on at the site is my client has been looking to find a tenant because the present tenants are leaving. Ahern said that the client is in talks with a major retailer as a tenant. He said that in view of that search for a new tenant, the remediation work had been neglected. We freely admit it hasn't been attended to as it as should have been. He said, there are some things that we've got to get done. My client has instructed us to tell you that work can be completed by the end of July, but I've cautioned my client that they have to read the order of conditions very carefully. Don't just show up tomorrow with an excavator. After extensive discussion, the CONCOM voted to allow the owner, Alexander Argyros, according to the Norwood GIS, to finish the work by July, so long as monthly reports sharing progress are included. The CONCOM agreed that if the work's not done by the end of July, a new enforcement order with the strict schedule and penalties would be implemented. In other news, Rockland said the Guild Pond feasibility study received 3 proposals from interested parties to do the study. If you're not aware, the Guild Pond feasibility study is a $200,000 venture funded from the Community Preservation Act and to find if it's feasible to properly dam Guild Pond. Woods Sportsman Association uses the pond for fishing and boating instruction for younger/new members and is helping to push the venture. The dam there has a long history, but the short version is a concrete dam had failed there some years ago, and members of the club have been sandbagging the dam as needed ever since. The study is aimed at figuring out the best way forward, and though it was approved at last year's town meeting, it is now moving ahead. Conservation agent Carly Rocklin said a subcommittee met last Friday to discuss and agree on a preferred vendor. The committee was made up of members of the CONCOM, the Department of Public Works, and the Sportsman's Secretary Mike Regan. Rockland and Norwood Food Forest organizer Mark Negron had asked for an electrical connection to the shed there to help charge electric landscaping equipment. He's also going to put together a wish list from the Department of Public Works to help care for the land, in particular mowing. She said that they could use the help. Mark is also producing signage to put in kiosks to help generate interest in the food forest. A committee also discussed the Norwood Greenhouse, a project developed and built by students from Norwood High. Rockland said because of the distance between the high school and Eden Park, where the greenhouse is located, high school students and teachers are having difficulty finding the time to get down there. In that vein, Rockland said she has been in contact with several Coakley Middle School teachers who will be organizing to get a more regular presence down at the greenhouse. Dancing with the Norwood Stars is garnering a crowd. Now, Jeff Sullivan here. The 16th annual Dancing with the Norwood Stars went off without a hitch on Friday as hundreds came together to raise money for the Norwood Circle of Hope, COH. The COH has been raising money for those experienced crisis in Norwood for more than 2 decades, according to MC and COH Board President David Tuttle. The organization has raised and distributed more than $1.5 million to Norwood families over the years, covering costs for medical and financial emergencies to residents anonymously. Our board members are all volunteers. Nobody's paid. and they represent many different sectors of the NOLAD community, coming from areas like emergency services, education, business, and social services, Tuttle said. Since we began, the organization has provided over $1.5 million, we just said that, in support to NOLAD residents, but our success has only been possible because of all of you here tonight, especially everybody at home watching, and the entire NOLAD community who have embraced us and our mission for the last 28 years. The night was a brainchild of the late Catherine St. Cyr, C-Y-R, who, and it has ballooned into a ministry of NOLAD culture every year. Organizers, often Carolyn Ricciardi, scour the town for would-be dancers who, once they've accepted the invite, are taught how to strut their stuff on the dance floor by the Fred Astaire School of Dance over an 8-week period. It all culminates with what happened on Friday. The noise of conversation and celebration was a palpable. Wow, I haven't seen that word in a long time. Palpable throughout the night, save when the organizer had to acknowledge and remember pillars of its foundation had passed on this year. Rosemary Rowe Riley was a founding member of the foundation and served as a member of our assistance committee. The audience interrupted Tuttle here with applause. Yes, give it up for Roe. She was a founding member of our assistance committee right up until the end. She worked directly with clients to review requests for assistance. Roe also worked in the Norwood schools as a nurse, retiring as head nurse some years ago. Roe was a supreme example of compassion and a commitment to others, and left a lasting impact on our community that she loved so dearly. That's a quote. Tuttle also remembered former board president Tim McDonough, who recently passed away. McDonough was the board president for the first 27 years of the COH and the historically emceed Dancing with the NOLAD Stars with former NOLAD High School NHS principal George Yusevich. The two went back and forth in comedy routines that, according to Yusevich, came from the fact that they knew and respected each other so much. Please give it up for Tim, Tuttle said. His guidance, a smile, wit, and wisdom helped to shape us into the organization we are today. Tim's generosity went way beyond the COH, and he lent a lot of his time to the Norwood Scholarship Committee, where he ensured that many NHS graduates were provided aid for their future education. Tim loved Norwood and gave 4 decades of service to the town, serving on the school committee, the board of selectmen, and lastly, the town assessor. Everyone Tim met became an instant friend, and he reinforced that friendship each time he saw you with a warm smile and a familiar greeting. How are you, my friend? I'm proud to be able to call Tim and Roe close friends. Dancers Tim Rose, Tenta Kinoik, Michael O'Connor, Karen Broderick, Christopher Liscum, and Mary Rondellini Lopez all showed their moves. Tim Rose was the judge's choice winner, and Karen Broderick was the night's champion. It was great, sweaty, and fun, said Rose. It was a blast. I thought we killed it tonight. I've been helping a little with COH for a long time now with things like the Luminary Night, but I definitely wanted to have a bigger part in things, and so I got asked to join. I was more than thrilled to hop in. I'm not shy, and I love a theme, said Broderick. But more importantly, what I found throughout this whole process is the community, and to be able to support my hometown was a huge honor. I thought I'd be worrying about the dance too much. My focus was really on the fundraising for the COH, so I hope I did well. Lipscomb has been living in the town for 10 years now and said he feels right at home. Just the community and the welcome here means a lot for me, but the story behind the COH means a lot to me as well, he said. My older sister, who was right here, was diagnosed with cancer when she was 17, and without the community helping us and our family, well, it just speaks volumes, and she's still here today, and we are absolutely loving it. Kinoliak said she was a community there. She saw a community there ready to help and support its members, and I just wanted to be part of that. She said, I want to give back to the community, and Norwood is a great community where a great outreach to everyone to help people. O'Connor said the experience of working with Nina DiPario was amazing. Everything is amazing. She's been a miracle worker. I came in with three left feet, and I think I came out with only two. She said, I grew up in Norwood, and I knew about the COH. My sister Kathleen was diagnosed with cancer a couple of years ago, and we were raised to give back to the community, which is why I chose it. Rhonda Lillian Lopez said she was exhausted, but it was worth it to the raising funds for the community. It was amazing. Thank you. Norwood COH stated on his social media that the night would not have been possible without help from the Fred Astaire Dance Studios, Norwood Community Media, its NCM, One Local Bank, Four Points by Sheraton, and the Tiffany Ballroom staff, Ed Hickey and Steve DeBreo for Flowers, Tracy Young for Spray Tanners, Donna Breen for hair and makeup, Paul and Martha Angelo for wine, and Norwood Printing for our printing needs. Is regarding the police chief and the proposed cuts to the jail diversion correspondent program. And this is a statement from the Norwood Police Department. Christopher Patton, that's the chief, is raising concerns about proposed state budget cuts that would significantly reduce funding for the jail diversion correspondent program, which pairs police officers with licensed mental health clinicians to respond to individuals in crisis. Governor Healey's, Maura Healey's proposed budget would reduce funding for the statewide program from approximately $19 million to about $4 million. That's a big cut. Chief Patton said the reduction would weaken a system that has helped police departments across Massachusetts better respond to mental health emergencies. The Massachusetts Chiefs of Police Association is using Beacon Hill lawmakers to restore full funding for the state's jail and arrest diversion program in the governor's proposed budget. When someone calls 911 during a mental health crisis today, the response increasingly includes both a police officer and a trained clinician. Patton said that approach allows us to de-escalate situations, connect people with services, and often avoid unnecessary arrests or hospitalizations. The correspondent model works. Jail a diversion correspondent program has expanded across Massachusetts in recent years as police departments respond to a growing number of behavioral health emergencies. Police leaders say the program allows officers to partner with trained clinicians who can provide immediate assessment, crisis intervention, and connections to treatment services. In Norwood, the police department partners with the Riverside Community Care to embed a full-time clinician within the department. The clinician works alongside officers to respond to calls involving individuals experience mental health crises and follows up with families and residents after incidents. Chief Patton said the partnership has helped resolve many situations through intervention and support rather than arrest or emergency hospitalization. Quote, police officers are responding to more calls involving mental health and substance use challenges than ever before. Chief Patton said the situations require more than enforcement. Having a clinician working side by side with our officers gives us the ability to provide the right response and connect people with the help they need. Across Massachusetts, the correspondent model has diverted thousands of individuals from arrest and helped reduce unnecessary transports to emergency departments, according to program data. Police departments also report that the program allows officers to spend less time managing complex behavioral health situations without specialized support. If the proposed funding cuts are approved, Chief Patton said many communities could lose access to embedded clinicians and the co-response teams. If this funding is reduced, departments will once again be asked to handle complex behavioral crises without the resources that have made this program successful, Chief Patton said. When there are no alternatives, the system often dissolves to arrest or emergency commitment. There is no best outcome for individual families or communities with this. Program represents what modern policing should look like, Chief Patton said. It allows us to respond with care, compassion, and the right expertise while keeping people connected to services rather than the criminal justice system. State legislature will review the governor's proposed budget in the coming months. This has been Frank Dunn reading for you from your local paper here on behalf of the Talking Information Center. Everybody, please get out there and have a great weekend.